We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back live from Chickens and Pete's in Marlton, New Jersey. Come here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Great location. The great Chickies food. You know that. This bar is spectacular. If I was ever going anywhere to watch a game, Mike,
yeah,
it would be here. There has to be 40 TVs in this place.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new.
Easily.
Great place. So get out here if you haven't been. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, 888-729-9494. We'll have something on Matt Klentak joined the midday show earlier, and he had something on Machado, among other things. But we'll have that for you in a second, but I want to get right into the Eagles stuff, all right? Because we asked this. All right, driving in today, I heard John Ritchie. He was kind of being like, yo, man, Doug's not getting criticized at all this year. And by the way, he should get criticized. He has not done a great job coaching this team. And kind of thought about it, and we've had similar conversations in the last few weeks. But now, like, when you're officially halfway through the season, bye week, now you kind of look at the first half of the season as you're looking ahead to the second half. So if you look at the first half of the season, and the question that we put up on Twitter was, at Mark Cerise WIP, was, has Doug done a good job so far this season? Just about this season. Don't pay attention to the past. Has Doug done a good job this season? Yes or no? And I had to vote no. Mm-hmm. And you can see my check mark right there. I voted no because the bottom line is they're 4-4. And if there was a game or two or three that could have been won that they found a way to lose the game, which they did, then that goes on the quarterback and the head coach. So I'm going to point at the head coach on this one. Doug, listen, I would give a grade of C just because if you get one of those games, you're 5-3. And being 5-3 is a lot better than being 4-4, even though it's one game. So I look at Doug. I like Doug. He's had some injury things and all that. But for the most part,
there's just some injury things, you know.
Well, he had injuries last year.
Starting quarterback, not there.
Two games. Right. And went 1-1 in those two games, yep.
Okay, well, he's not there. Then you got to get a quarterback, your starting quarterback, out there after 9.5 months of having reconstructive knee surgery.
Yeah, and he was good right from Jump Street. He played well.
Okay.
Well, he did.
Well, he played well considering. He didn't come out throwing for 300 and some yards and three touchdowns, and the offense just lit up everybody.
I'll leave it like this.
I think they scored, 20 points when he came back?
I'll make a general statement like this, okay? Mm-hmm. 4-4 or injuries or whatever, because you're right. There's so many things that encompass half of a season in the NFL, from players that just aren't executing, from penalties, from everything else.
Now, I'll say that's Doug's fault, even though it's technically not his fault, but...
But that's where it goes on the coach, yeah, if you put things like that on the coach, right?
Yeah, yeah, pre-snap penalties, all that, yeah.
And by the way, I still like Doug, and I think Doug is a coach. He just won the Super Bowl. I get that, but I'm not giving him a Super Bowl pass like a lot of people, are doing right now.
Yeah.
I can't look at the first 8 games of the season and say, you know what, Doug Peterson's done a really good job. Doug Peterson's done a good job as a head coach. He hasn't.
Oh, I think he has.
They've lost close games that they found a way to lose, right?
Not because of Doug.
Well, they didn't win those games because of Doug either.
No, they didn't win them. What do you mean? You're talking about the games they lost?
I'm talking about Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Tennessee, and I'm talking about what's the other game that I'm talking about where they lost?
Carolina.
And Carolina. I'm talking about those three games. You need to win one of those three games. You can't lose all three of those games, and that's indicative of a team that's finding ways to lose, and that goes on the head coach, and it goes on the quarterback. Doug's the head coach. I can't say he's been good. You disagree?
Oh, I know he's been good. Yeah.
What has he done? What has he done? What has Doug done well?
Well, he's kept his team together. They didn't completely fall apart. These running backs, who are these guys? Love them, young guys, but I mean, he's got virtually no running game. The offensive line is underperforming. That's not Doug's fault. You know, this when this team took off last year, you thought about both lines of scrimmages, the offensive line and the defensive line. And I think everybody would agree both lines of scrimmages are underperforming this year.
I agree with that.
Okay, so that's not Doug. That's not Doug. That's offensive linemen who are in there, whether they're banged up or whether somehow they've forgotten how to block lineman stunts. And they can't pass off pass rushers anymore. And that includes all of them. Every last one of them.
Oh, so the coach can't coach them up or
every
make sure it's the mistakes that they're making that they correct?
Sure, they're getting coached up. They are getting coached up. We talk to Lane every week. They're getting coached up. They just aren't playing as good. That's what it boils down to. Now, I think in a general sense, if you want to lay that at the feet of Doug, then okay, because in a general sense, he's the head coach, so he's responsible for everything. But when I'm talking about Doug's direct impact on the outcome of the games, I mean, like I said, the Minnesota game, maybe. Like, maybe I can give you that one, but I can't blame Doug because Carson didn't throw the ball to Wendell Smallwood on 3rd-and-2. He decided to throw it into double coverage to Alshon Jeffrey. Like, I can't blame Doug for that. Doug made the right call. It's first down if Carson sees the running back in the flats.
Mm-hmm.
And on 4th down, if the linemen pick up the stunts or if Carson gets the ball out quicker, you may pick up a 1st down there. So I can't blame Doug for the Carolina loss, right? I can't blame Doug for that.
With a few exceptions, they've been sloppy, they've been inconsistent, and I know they haven't scored enough points. Doug Peterson is the de facto offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Has he been hurt by not having his two guys there? Yes, he has.
Well, how about he's been hurt by guys underperforming? Has Nelson Aguilar performed?
I haven't seen Nelson Aguilar open for anything other than a 2-yard throw, which they seem to throw him to.
Oh, I remember in that Tennessee game. He got some deep balls in that Tennessee game.
He had a couple big drops.
Oh, yeah. He had at least 3 of them. One hit him right in the face on 3rd-and-22.
At Mark's Reese WIP, half of the votes are saying C. And mm-hmm. Individually, John McFatrick says C, he misses Reich and DeFilippo. Do you think that's a lot of what's going on here? Missing the coordinators?
Man, I think that plays a part in it, yes.
C minus by Dark Civic.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's say he is missing Reich and DeFilippo.
Yeah.
How is that a negative on Doug?
Well, I could have hired somebody else. Could have hired a guy with coordinating experience. What are you laughing at?
God, that's silly.
Why is that silly?
Because why would he hire someone else instead of promoting people on his staff that just helped him win a championship?
Why would he hire somebody that had experience so he didn't have to thrust guys that maybe weren't ready for that position? I don't think
that. Oh, like, Doug. What do you mean? Doug is the one that's calling the plays, and he's the de facto offensive coordinator right now.
Yes.
You think Mike Groh is telling Doug what to do?
No, but what was Frank Reich telling Doug to do?
He was an experienced voice in the room. That's what I'm saying. See, you just went to Doug gets blamed for that because he didn't hire someone better.
No, but what I'm saying is why didn't he bring somebody with experience into the room?
Like who?
I don't know who was out there as an assistant coach or an offensive coordinator during the offseason. I'll have to look into it. I'll bet you I'll find somebody that had more experience than Mike Groh and Press Taylor.
Well, I mean, the most
Todd Haley was available, right?
The most experienced one would have been John DeFilippo, and that's why he left.
Because he's in Minnesota.
Because Doug calls the plays. So you're not going to go out and hire a coordinator while you call the plays. Nobody wants that job. That's why John DeFilippo left.
But there's, I mean, in Andy Reid never had a problem getting a guy in there because he was promoting from within his staff in a lot of cases, right? He was
exactly. I don't remember Andy ever hiring an outside offensive coordinator.
He was calling the plays for sure.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to look at it and say, like, okay, so is a coordinator or not coordinator? Is it they aren't struggling because of the coordinator or they are struggling because of the coordinator? Is it a piece of it?
It's no doubt it's a piece of it.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I think I'm trying to give you reasons behind why the offense has struggled. And I agree with you that DeFilippo and Frank Reich not being here has contributed to that.
Okay.
But that's not a slight on Doug. Like, that's not, I can't mark him a grade down because guys left to go somewhere else. And he did the right thing by promoting guys from within instead of bringing somebody in from the outside. But you couple the coordinator and the quarterback's coach not being here along with the offense of injuries. Nobody practicing in the preseason. Like, guys getting injured. Like, all that stuff. For some teams, I mean, you could be 3-5 or 2-6. I think the fact that you were in every game is a testament to Doug as a coach.
I think the reason you're 4-4 is because of Doug. Honestly, this is a 4-4 team. This looks like a 4-4 team. This is coached like a 4-4 team. You're only halfway.
Whoa.
You have plenty of time.
Okay, so if it's a 4-4 team, you got to make up your mind. Is it a 4-4 team or is it a 6-2 team that's underachieving? Make up your mind.
No, it's a 4-4 team.
Okay, then he's coaching a 4-4 team.
No, it's a 4-4 team because of the way he's coaching.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean?
Come on.
You really think that's an unfair statement to
say? Yeah.
Listen, Ike.
Yes.
Doug has not done a good job as a head coach of his football team this year.
I think he has.
888-729-9494.
I think Jim Schwartz coaching has had more of an impact on him losing four games than Doug's.
Well, that's tomorrow's show.
No, it's not tomorrow's show. That's today's show.
Oh, so you're passing the buck with Doug is what you're doing.
I'm not passing the buck. What I'm saying is when you look at the four losses, I think Jim Schwartz's coaching has had more to do with the four losses than Doug's coaching.
Three of those games you could have won. You won none of them.
You gave up 2 17-point leads.
Okay. Not enough points. Something missing from the offense. Some crispness.
Yeah, it's called players.
888-729-9494.
It's called good players.
We've fought enough on this. What do you think? 888-729-9494. It's not, I'm not trying to be unfair. I like Doug. Doug's going to be just fine. But honestly, if I'm taking away the Super Bowl, this is a Super Bowl pass. People are going to call in and say, Doug's fine. No, you're looking back at the Super Bowl. If you were looking at the first eight games, I think you'd be it's fair to say he's done an average job.
Did you not predict they would be 4-4?
I did.
Okay.
888-729-9494.
So you expected him to be 4-4.
I knew he was going to struggle.
Oh, okay.
888-729-9494. Chris and Yardley. Chris.
You know, I just have a point. I think you're out of your friggin' mind, Marks. You're literally doing exactly what all Philadelphia fans do when they don't have an argument to go on. They just start throwing stuff out the window. You're saying that the reason the Philadelphia Eagles are at a 4-4 is because of Doug Peterson. So what you're saying is that last year when the Eagles were winning and it was by the play of the players, it was all Doug Peterson. So what you're saying is that we should get rid of all the players and just have coaches sit down with the little old electronic NFL game and let the players jump around and let them pull plays out. Because if that is the argument, that is a really ridiculous argument. It is ridiculous to say that Doug Peterson is somehow at fault for this. And this is precisely the kind of stuff I listen to from people calling up to say, this is more, you need to do better than this, man. You actually need to give an assessment of why Doug Peterson hasn't been doing well, other than just to say, well, did they have a win? They're not winning.
That is ridiculous. I just did.
No,
the offense
didn't.
Isn't scoring
no,
points.
You
Hold
didn't.
On. Who's the offensive coordinator, Chris?
I don't know. Who's my – you ask me. Who's the offensive coordinator?
Doug Peterson, right? He calls the plays?
Okay. Right. And how many times did they give up 17-point leads? But you're going to say it's all Doug Peterson.
Chris, shut up for a second and let me talk.
I'll come down there and smack you in your mouth, you little
How about this?
How about this?
I'm here till 6 o'clock, Chris.
Whoa.
All right?
Whoa.
I'm here till 6 o'clock. So come from Ardley. Come down here, and I'll be waiting for you.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's not go there.
How about that?
I don't need people showing up here to Chickies and Pete's because I'm handing out two pieces left and right if I need to. Yeah, I mean,
Marlton?
You know, you and I, we can argue on the air, but you're my partner. You know, we're not going to put up with people showing up to Chickies and Pete's ready for fisticuffs.
Here's the thing. I love that I just got somebody to call in mad enough to threaten me and use profanity. Saying he's going to come down here.
Oh, Lord.
I let you talk for 60 seconds without interrupting you. And then it's just talk radio, so there's in and out. Then you have to let me talk, right? So if you want real reasons, I'll give you real reasons right now where I look at Doug and I say he's done an average job. He's the offensive coordinator. He calls the plays. They are scoring in the 20s. They're, what were they, 22nd in total points? Sorry, that's not good enough. There's three games that they had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. They've lost all three games. Mm-hmm. Give me one of those wins. You know what that is? That's an average coaching performance. So come down here and say that to me.
Would you stop that? Because he may drive over here.
Anytime I've been threatened on the air, no one's ever showed up. So I guess it's, you know. Do we still have that police officer here?
He's gone.
Earlier we had a state trooper guarding the ring because the ring was here earlier. Let's go to David in South Philly. Hi, David.
I feel like I'm working with Eskin. Those are the type of calls I used to get with Eskin. You know what I mean? They wanted to show up and roll him up somewhere, man.
Hi, Dave.
I can pretend to be that man, but I'm not. But I agree with you, John. I agree that a lot of this falls on Doug. And you look at small examples like at the end of the Carolina game, not using timeouts well, not going for it when he should and going for it when he shouldn't, and not getting his team coached up. I mean, we've had a lot of injuries, and part of that you can't blame on Doug. But
sure. You sure?
You have to.
Doug's not responsible for pulling. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just being sarcastic.
Well, I mean, he can be blamed perhaps for some of the off-season management. I mean, the players that are getting injured, you know, a lot of them were on talking tours. And, you know, I understand that
he had
only
a damn book,
Super Bowl.
Doug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to go on Ellen DeGeneres, and I'm not going to write a book. I'm not going to go out and cash in on the fact that we won the first Super Bowl in the city's history. No, I'm going straight to the gym, and I'm not coming out until it's training camp time. Come on. Come on, David.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, and he didn't do that, but it comes with consequences, and I think that when you add it all up, getting your players coached up for each and every day, having your players be as healthy as they can, making the small decisions in game times that make just, you know, games that you can win, having them come out of your hands and you lose them, I think that is something that ultimately falls on Doug. And I agree with the hiring decisions, too. Mike Rowe has not been anybody that has answered the questions appropriately to the media, has instilled confidence in the fan base, and we don't really know what he is doing or what he's not doing. That's also on Doug.
Okay.
All right, David, appreciate it. You remember the show we did, Ike, where we were saying who's the real MVP of the Super Bowl, Doug Peterson or Nick Foles?
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really good question because you could make the case for both sides, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about that on the air to where the caller was saying, well, you never give the coach credit when they win. Well, guess what? You do. And you think Andy Reid, for his however many years he was here, mm-hmm. you think all those things were his fault that went wrong, Andy Reid? He got blamed. Him and the quarterback got blamed for everything. Everything. The head coach got blamed for everything. You know what? Rightly so in a lot of those cases, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just the nature of the sport. That's the nature of the position. When you score, all right, you ready? This is how many points the Eagles have scored this year in the regular season. 18, mm-hmm. 21, 20, 23, 21, 34, 17, and 24. Mm-hmm. In the NFL in 2018, you're not going to win a lot. You're going to win 8 games if you score that many points, right? You're a middle-of-the-pack team. Mm-hmm. That's what the Eagles are right now. So I can't say Doug's done a good job this year if that's the case.
Yeah, I would tell you 65% of this league is a middle-of-the-pack team. How many teams in this league got more than 4 wins?
I would have to look up the
You probably can count them on one hand. You probably can count them on one hand.
Well, there's definitely a lot of – you're right. I agree with you. There's a lot of teams that are in that same realm,
well,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, and that doesn't mean that they've done well. Like, you want me to say those teams – oh, yeah, that's a good team. No, I'm not going to say that. Let me see.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is that – there are about 3 or 4 teams in the entire league that have really separated themselves from the pack. And you know what? The other 31 teams aren't coming off the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't coming off the Super Bowl. And those teams at the top, as I mentioned earlier, the majority of them are healthy ball clubs. and they've been healthy all year.
Right, but the Eagles,
which allows them to play at full strength every week. When you're not playing at full strength and you got to make do with guys, yeah, you're not going to put up 30 points a game. You just aren't.
All right, well, I mean,
And when I look at the rest of the league, when I look at the majority of the league at four wins or less, I'm like, okay, Doug's right there where a lot of the teams are, and look what all he's had to deal with. That's the way I look at it. I'm like, it's not as if they're 2-6. It's not as if they're 1-7. They're 4-4. Could they be 6-2? Yeah, I think they should be 6-2. That's why I had them at after 8 games. And had they not blown 2 17-point leads in the fourth quarter, we would be sitting at 6-2 right now. We would, with all the injuries and everything else, if players had to just execute it late in those games, with all the circumstances being the same, with the same players on the field that have led you to 4-4, you would be 6-2.
Yeah, I'd say that a well-coached team could be 6-2 right now.
Yeah, got to do a better job on that defensive side. Come on, Jim, pick it up.
You're right about that. I agree with you. David in Downingtown. Hi, David.
So I did a little looking on the internet, and I looked at each of the 8 weeks of the season. I looked at who was on the injury report, and there were 21 different names on for the 8 weeks.
Okay.
21.
For the Eagles?
For the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There were 14 offensive players and 6 defensive players, I think is what the breakdown was. There was 13 and 8, something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while maybe we can say that not having the two assistants that left has had an impact on how Doug is doing things, I don't think Doug's the offensive coordinator. I think he's the head coach, the play caller. And, frankly, he's dealing with half a team.
Half a team?
Well, think about it. If 14 or 13 of his offense players, all of them were starters at some point, are gone, he's dealing with second, third, and fourth stringers that are playing.
Where?
In a lot of cases, in the backfield, in the receiving crew.
Nope.
He was with the receiving crew. He was working with second and third stringers in the offensive line off and on throughout the week. I'm not saying Doug's been perfect. God.
But
I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you. Let me finish. You're so good at interrupting people as I listen to you on the phone. Let me finish. Okay?
Right, go ahead and finish.
Have a little manners, would you? So to me, it seems to me like while Doug hasn't done a perfect job, he's also had one hand tied behind his back, maybe one and a half, and maybe two, maybe a hand and a leg. And so, you know, given what he's had to work with coaching-wise, given what he's had to train 2 new guys. Was that his fault for picking them? I guess. But should you come from within? I like Ike's point of view. You always promote from within if you can. Mm-hmm. He's won 4 games with his hand tied behind his back, one or one and a half hands tied behind his back, and he's lost 3 very close games or 3 games that were very winnable the team has lost.
Right.
Maybe some of that was Doug, maybe some of that was players, maybe some of that was the fact that 11 or 14 of his starters weren't on the offensive side of the ball, and you wonder why his offensive production's down. You wonder why his play calling isn't as creative, because he doesn't have the damn great players to play with right now. Maybe he has them now, but he didn't have them for that period of time. And so maybe he had to dumb it down for the second and third stringers, and he couldn't go all out calling the way he wanted to call. I don't know. I don't live in his head. I don't know, Doug.
David, I'm trying
all
to let
I know
you
is
go, but you, no one gets this much time on the air. So I just want to I want to ask you a question,
and then I'm going to let you go.
Did he have similar problems last year, losing a lot of players, a lot of key players? Pro Bowl players? Did he have that problem last year?
And he had a loaded roster with second string and third stringers that maybe he doesn't have this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, he had injury problems last year too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. The team's 4-4. Like we can say it's this and that and this and that. Of course it's this and that. I mean, it's not because Doug's a crappy head coach that they're 4-4, but he plays a part of it. Sorry, he plays a part of it. Three close games.
Well, no one's saying he doesn't have some responsibility or culpability in where they are. I'm just looking at it when I look at the list of reasons as to why they're 4-4. Doug is down the list to me. He's down the list to me. I don't think Doug's coaching has held this team back this year. Like when that's just the feeling that I get from the first eight games of the season through the four losses. Just in a snapshot, I'm not saying to myself, man, Doug cost us this game or that game.
I agree with
I'm
you.
I'm just not.
I agree with you. But that doesn't mean that he's helped the team win games. That's the problem. Like people are thinking that I'm saying that he sucks or he's done a terrible job. No, when you're 4-4 and you have an opportunity to be 5-3 or 6-2, guess what? That means you haven't done a great job.
Well, nobody's saying he's done a great job.
Okay, but
he's done a good job.
I don't think he has. I look at a 4-4 team that is in position in the second half to go on a run. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got an opportunity to finish up strong and go into the playoffs. He certainly has an opportunity. So far, what I've seen with the Eagles in their eight games, I haven't seen the same thing I saw from last year with Doug. How much of that is involved with injuries and things like that? Yeah, it's all,
yeah, all that. All that, all that is included. Yeah, all that is the explanation as to why you don't see through the first 8 weeks what you saw last year. Like, you can't just sweep that under the rug as if that's not a big factor into this. You don't go from 1 year to the next saying, I should get the same results that I got the year before. There's a reason why they're 4-4.
5-3, I think you can make the case like, yeah, man, he's done a good job. Got you right there on pace 10-6. Take a 4-4.
I just look at it like the circumstances for what they've been, for what he's had to deal with, I give him a B-.
Let's go to Paul in Abington. Hi, Paul.
What's going on, guys?
Yo.
What up, Paul?
So I was listening to your conversation, and it reminded me of a little bit earlier in the week. I think it was Ruben Frank was on Angelo's show, and he brought up a really good point. Up until this, I was agreeing with everything Ike's been saying. Ruben Frank said if the Eagles' offense was producing at the same level it was last year, they would be 8-0 right now, and that their defense is holding basically true to what they did last year and how many points they gave up. And then in addition to that, I think he said, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think he said that the Eagles' defense is like third in the NFL in touchdowns given up. Mm-hmm. So as much as I want to blame the defense for the Carolina game and the Titans game, you look at what the Eagles' offense is doing, you look at the points they're putting up, and they're just not putting up enough points to hang with any of the good teams in the NFL. And who are you going to blame? You blame either the head coach or the offensive coordinator for the offense, and for the Eagles, it's both the same guy.
Yeah, I think you do that if you don't want to dive into the details of why they are where they are. Yeah, I think in a vacuum, yeah, the head coach is always going to be ultimately responsible for where the team is at, right? Like that, and the quarterback, that's always going to be there. But if you look into the details, quite frankly, you know, pointing out that the defense is doing what they did last year, I mean, they have the majority of the same players that they had last year, right? They didn't have any coaching changes.
Well,
they still have the majority of the game. They're missing a couple players, but they also brought in players on that side for them. So I'm not telling you that the defense has played bad. I've actually said the defense isn't necessarily to blame like people have called them out to be the blame. Yeah. But there's a reason why the offense has struggled. I mean, there's a reason why it's not as good as it was last year. The running backs aren't as good as they were last year. The offensive line isn't playing as well as they played last year. Nelson Aguilar, as a receiver, isn't playing the way he was playing last year. You know why the Eagles' offense was like it was last year in part? Because you had Nelson Aguilar have a career year last year. You don't have Torrey Holt, what he brings to the table as an element of the offense either. So that makes it harder to move the ball in chunks. Is that Doug's fault? Because we don't have an outside receiver that can run faster than a 4-5? I'm as fast as Alshon is right now. And that's not a knock on Alshon. It's just he's never been a speed wide receiver.
Right.
So when you don't have that element to the offense isn't as explosive. It just isn't. And then when you don't have running backs like LeGarrette Blount or Darren Sproles or Corey Clement playing the way he played last year, the offense isn't as dynamic.
Well, let me ask you this.
It just isn't.
Marks and Reese on 94
that's
WIP.
That's not Doug. Doug can't turn Josh Adams into LeGarrette Blount.
Marks and Reese, 94 WIP, HC1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake Studios. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in Marlton. New Jersey, if we have any local police, if you want to come over here and monitor the parking lot.
Get on down here, man, because if I got the, John and I get out to this parking lot, and if it ain't what I'm, what it's supposed to be.
I got scolded by one man, and I got threatened by another.
Yeah, you got threatened by another, man. Come on, man. You know, you like my little brothers, right?
It's awesome.
When I was younger. I stayed in more you-know-what because of those two than anything. You know, it's one thing to be in a fight that you know while you're fighting and it has something to, like, literally do with you. But to be in the fight because your brother's done started something with some other guys in the neighborhood or something, and then I got to come jump in, yeah, that happened more often than not when I was a kid. Now, you done ticked off everybody.
Not everybody.
And he didn't invite them down here to Chickies.
Not everybody's gives Doug and Carson the Super Bowl pass. I don't give them the Super Bowl pass. Well, you do. Well, let me ask you this, Ike.
Oh, now I'm giving a Super Bowl pass.
You are. You give them the Super Bowl pass.
I'm not giving
Would
them
you
the
say
Super
the league
pass.
Has adjusted Carson to what?
Carson didn't even play in the Super Bowl.
Would you say that the league has adjusted to what Doug Peterson was doing well last year? Would you say there was an adjustment that was made to what the Eagles do offensively?
From
defenses.
With the RPOs?
From defenses. Would you say that
RPOs, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Would you say that Doug...
But that's everybody around the league.
Right, exactly. But as you know, the NFL is a chess game, and when you get extra time to study, and now it's the Eagles, and it's like, well, they're on our schedule. We got to prepare for them. You get extra time. You get extra film to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Doug struggled with what's been thrown at him by defensive coordinators, and now he is just starting to adjust as they enter the second half of the season.
No, I just don't think we have explosive players.
See, I would say that's a part of it.
Like
for sure.
What dynamic players on this offense?
They didn't have a dynamic player last. It was the dynamic player last year on the team. There wasn't a dynamic big play player. They got big plays because they were able to get guys in space. Nelson Agholor was able to get in space.
They had you would agree last year the weapons were better.
Because of the running backs, absolutely.
I don't care whether the running backs or not. The weapons as a whole were better last year. They just were. Well, I mean, it's how they scored more points.
Well, the wide receivers are similar right now.
Yeah, right now. What about the first eight games of the season? We didn't even complete a ball to a receiver on the outside until Alshon came back in week four.
All right. Well, I mean, and they're still not getting the big chunk plays. Alshon has helped, without a doubt.
Exactly. They still aren't getting chunk plays. You know why? Because one guy doesn't necessarily catch the ball when they throw it to him down the field deep.
Mm-hmm.
Else they would have more chunk plays.
Other than that,
who else would you get a chunk play from?
Well, not
Zach Ertz doesn't give you chunk plays.
No, he doesn't give you yards after catch. I wouldn't say you're better because you don't have Trey Burton, but Goddard has helped you at least a couple plays here and there.
He gets a couple targets a game.
Here's what I'll tell you. The running backs last year, they had to go out and get Ajayi halfway through the season. So you can't use, they had Jay Ajayi last year. They had Jay Ajayi pretty much now to the end of the season
last year.
Forget
Jay Ajayi. I'm talking about LeGarrette Blount.
Well, I mean, all right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but look what he did the first half of the season. He wasn't consistently every week. Some weeks they didn't even use him last year.
Yeah, I know. But when they did, they could finish games. Remember the LA Charger game?
Now, I'm not aligning myself with Dave and Bryn Mawr, who's not a Doug fan. Dave, what do you got?
I just want to tell Ike one thing about Peterson being a bad coach. It was 3rd and 2 with 2 yards to go and 2 timeouts, and he couldn't get 2 yards. He couldn't call the right play to get 2 yards.
What game we're talking about?
I forget which one it was. I think it was Minnesota North Carolina, one of those.
You talking about the Carolina game?
Yeah. With 2 yards to go.
Did you see that game?
And 2 timeouts.
Dave, did you see that? You watched the game, right?
Yeah.
You saw the running back in the flat wide open, right?
Yeah.
On 3rd and 2.
Can he run the ball for 2 yards?
No, they don't run the ball for 2 yards in the NFL anymore when people expect them to. They throw the ball. So, the point is, Dave, he called a play, and the quarterback didn't go where he should have gone with the football. That's factual.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's not him, yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you there, but still.
There you go.
2 plays for 2 yards. Couldn't get it.
That makes him a bad coach. See what you're doing, John?
Yeah, but you interrupted that guy and didn't get yelled at like I did. That old guy yelled at me.
Well,
for interrupting him. I was just trying to have a back and forth. You realize in sports radio that there has to be a back and forth.
No, I'll come down here and smack you in your mouth, you little
Ben, cut it. Great job, Ben. Great job.
No, not that. The older guy. Great job. The older guy, he called me rude. Rude, crude behavior. Chris, shut up for a second and let me talk.
I'll come down here and smack you in your mouth, you little
That's awesome. Let's go to...
Oh, my God.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.